Morning, and I don't think I need this, but we're taping, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Are we okay, Natasha? Is it okay, Natasha? There's a switch on it. A switch. Thank you. Well, my name is David Nealens. I'm the Dean of the Faculty of Divinity at Trinity College. And I'm very happy to welcome you to this place. I'm going to offer a prayer. I said to Richard, who said, well, you know, your prayers are good. I always open faculty meetings with prayers. I said to Richard, well, you know, it's going to sound an awful lot like St. Augustine. Is that going to be okay? And Richard thought it would be okay. Let us pray. Gracious One, for as much as without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. We ask for your blessing on our university, our college, and our school. May knowledge be increased among us. May all good learning flourish and abound. Bless our teaching and our learning. And grant that in humility of heart we may ever look to you, the source of all wisdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May I say a brief word about Trinity College? We're here in the Ignatia Theater of Trinity College. Trinity College is a separate corporation within the Anglican Church of Canada. The Faculty of Divinity is in fact the oldest theological school in English Canada. We were founded in desperation by the first bishop of this region, first Anglican bishop of this region, who desperately needed a supply of clergy. And he found that he was not successful in having enough clergy coming through the other sources. And so he founded us in Cobourg in 1841. And we moved to Toronto to be part of the new University of Trinity College in 1851. So we've been on the ground a long time, and we have a proud and long tradition. One of my sources of pride is the new program that we have added to our offerings in the last decade. Our program in Orthodox and Eastern Studies is, I think, a marvelous addition to our curriculum. And I am very proud of the work of Professor Schneider and his colleagues, who each year bring more glory to theological studies in Toronto. So, in fact, I think I can claim a unique glory because I don't think anyone else in Canada is doing what we're doing. This little treasure is a special feature of Trinity College and Toronto and Canada. When we meet in the Ignatia Theatre, we meet in a theatre that's named after our ninth provost. The ninth provost of Trinity was an Orthodox. He was an Orthodox layman, George Ignatieff, my counselor and guide and friend in my early years of administration here. And this theater, when it was built, was named after him. He was very proud of his Orthodox character. He himself was actually born in Russia, migrated from Russia with his family as a very young man, and enrolled eventually at Trinity College, from which he was a Rhodes Scholar and went off to Oxford. He helped me enormously in terms of a number of things. None as great, perhaps, as the ease with which he migrated among Christian groups. He was attached to the Orthodox Church of America, part of the congregation of Christ our Savior, and yet he was able to reach out to address all sorts of different Christian groups. Now, he was a career diplomat. That may be part of the secret here. When I went to study theology, I went to the University of Oxford, where my tutor, in fact, was an Orthodox. My tutor was Callistos Ware, who is still around after all these years and very much alive. I think he was a little puzzled by some of my questions, and I certainly was always in awe of his answers. But I can say that through that, I developed a vision that is an amalgam, in fact. So sometimes I do see things in an Orthodox way. Today, we welcome you. I commend the people who have pulled together our program, to which I'm looking forward. And I also want to thank Crux Bookstore. Just across the street is their home, and they've moved their wares to the Buttery today, so you'll have a chance to look at and I hope, in their favor, buy a few books. In any case, welcome. I hope to... I will be with you for the day, and I hope that this day is rewarding to all of us.
Thank you, Professor Neal. It's always a pleasure and a blessing to be with under your umbrella and under your care and love, and this is the spirit of Christianity, to gather everyone who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we hope one day we all be one on this earth, but we don't lose faith in that, because if we haven't achieved this here, we will definitely be one in Him over there. So in heaven, and wherever is heaven would be, it would be where He is, the Trinity, our beloved source of identity. So these words are not prepared, so I just look at your faces and just invent them. Not invent, they come from my heart. I forgot to say my name. My name is Dr. Edward, Rauf Edward. I am a psychiatrist in Canada, this blessed land that also has the spirit of Christianity that accepted and loved and protect and care about everybody in the world coming to its land. And sometimes I get into this kind of thinking, how we compare Christianity and Canada. And one of the things and the themes, democracy. And this is, when I came to this land, I thought about how come that this land cares about these people, care about the human right, and we put human before anything else. So how come that Christianity and our triune would be less than that? So the issue of the law and the issue of how God see us as individuals was very intriguing to me, and maybe it materialized in this kind of meeting today, and with the help of Professor Schneider, who is always the dynamo behind everything. So I'm really, I don't know the order of the points of my little speech here, but back to myself. I am from Egypt, and I from the Orthodox Coptic Orthodox Church. God bless her now in this difficult time, and the St. Mark Orthodox Fellowship. This is a group that was has been originated maybe 15 years ago in U.S., and I established the branch here. Actually, we are a separate entity, but we are spiritually one. We were a group in the church in Egypt, and everyone went to one state, and we wanted to keep our bond in Christ, so we kept studying the Bible kind of each one contact the other with whatever, and the people got interested in knowing what we do, and this is how we developed And I was really interested in the unity of Christianity, of Christians, and I produce and write and have others to write in Christian Unity newsletter, and try to do my best with the help of God among the churches, Orthodox churches and others. But we are in the way. We will see where we can go. So this event today is one of several that have been in U.S. and here, and we have everything on our website, smofonline.org. We everything in audio and video for about 15 years are there. And everything we do is free. We are not interested in, as I was talking to the speakers before the event, about the numbers, because once an event happened in history, its effect propagates all through history. And some a nice theme came while we were talking, that Jesus Christ appeared in history once, and because of that we are Christian today after 2,000 years. So once we have the event, no matter how many are here, but things keep, as long as the Holy Spirit is here, and three of us, two of us with Jesus Christ, we are sure that his seeds will not but flourish and bring others to attend to the event, whether by video, by audio, by words, by whatever took place in our hearts after attending this meeting. Anyway, I don't know if I said everything, but I think I'm happy every time I meet with people under the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you very much.
Thank you both for wonderful and kind words. Dr. Edward is over-speaking when he calls me the dynamo. The dynamo is, in fact, small. These conferences, there have been a number of these conferences through the years here at Trinity, and the association with SMOF has always been the inspiring spirit of these conferences, not to mention their tremendous support. this actually bears on a theme that will come out again and again, I know, in these papers, which is that, in fact, it's about dialogue. And so if I could steal a metaphor from Pope John Paul II, I think SMOF and Trinity are the two lungs of this conference. Now, there are, in fact, a lot of people we have to thank. They've mostly been thanked, but I just wanted to add my own thanks to them, particularly to the tremendous support that we got from Trinity Faculty of Divinity. I don't know how many people know this, but Trinity Faculty of Divinity is staffed by exactly two people. One is Dean Nealance, and the other is one administrative assistant. And she's not here, but I really want to thank Sydney Young for tremendous support, and the people at Crux, as you see, have done a heroic effort also. There's a lot of very good stuff out there, particularly the St. Vladimir's Popular Patristic Series, which includes a great many of the Oriental Fathers, as well as the Byzantine Fathers. Now, it's my job to spend a couple of minutes trying to set a theme for the whole day. I'm going to do it by putting up the image that became the logo for our poster. Okay. So our topic today is about authority. And I think what's going to happen by the end of the day, we will see. And just to remind you all out there that at the end of the day, the last hour is going to be spent on very free and open discussion. So we hope that you'll all be thinking all day long of questions you want to ask and so on. There may possibly be some time at the end of each lecture to ask questions of individual speakers, but the real big question period is what's going to happen at the end. As you saw from the poster, our topic came with a question mark. So our topic was authority. Now, authority is not supposed to come with a question mark. And especially in Christianity, which has the mission to speak the truth, surely there should be an authoritative way to know what that truth is that we're supposed to speak. So what then is the question mark? As you've heard from both the Neelings and Dr. Edward, the question mark is not about Jesus Christ himself. There is no question mark about that. Even if today Jesus Christ is being surrounded by question marks, he does not bear one on his chest the way Superman bears an S. In Orthodox iconography, he has his own name, Jesus Christ. That's his authority. The problem with authority is recognizing when it is speaking. Authority is an effective force in the world. Law is in our title of our symposium. I thought long and hard about this. I'm currently teaching a course, not here, but in another university, on law in society. And a lot of the students are pre-law. And to them, law means something hard and fast and defined that you can refer to. You know, it's right there in the books. You can bring it forward for your appeal. And I suggested to them that law is really an idea. Law is an idea that society has, that the world in which we live together is well ordered. Right? That's what law is. Human beings, right, in order to have society, have to be law-like. The philosopher Hobbes a long time ago said, if we weren't law-like, we'd end up killing each other. And even in the Christian world, all we have to do is look around and we can see that that's so. So therefore, authority and law somehow go together. If we're going to be able to establish authoritative truth, we need the rule of law. Right. The image on the screen is a suggestion of that. I'm going to bring it back again in my lecture, so I'll just show you that this is Jesus Christ. Notice, by the way, with no beard as a young man. This is Jesus Christ handing the law, passing the law on to the disciples. Right? In the person of an old man, he's not named, could be Peter. This image was put up in a famous church in Rome, which I'll talk about in my talk, as soon as it became a church, under papal auspices. And just all those associations fit exactly with our common notion of law being fixed, authoritative. There's no question about it. We know what it is. But on the other hand, in our title is also Scripture. And Scripture is the authority we associate most closely with Jesus Christ, because the Gospel of John and many other places, he's identified as the Word of God, which is what Scripture is. Right? Are there two sources? Right? the way the Western Church tends to say, they tend to say scripture and tradition. So we would say scripture and law. Well, perhaps not. And actually our first two speakers are the yin and yang of this problem, because one of them is going to talk about the role law plays in scripture, and the other one is going to talk about the law itself existing as an outgrowth of scripture. So this is all very well, but then of course we need to recognize the law and the scripture. If you know the history of the church, you know this is not an easy matter. Today you can walk into any bookstore, you can walk into Crux and pick up something called the Bible, right? Well, actually, if you look at the row of books on the Bible shelf, you'll discover that none of them are alike. And how do we recognize the Bible? Canon law? A church that has a top-down authority, like the Roman Church, has defined the canon law. It puts it out in a book. Having done this, why does it have to redo it? It's redone it at least 6 times. So what is it that keeps changing that even a quote-unquote authoritative church has to put it down? And as we'll hear from Dr. Wagshaw, in the Orthodox Church, we're nowhere near such a thing. He just gave a lecture to the International Congress of Medieval Canon Law, pointing out that law is really in the sources, that is, the different copies of law, and it's a struggle and a search for what the law is. And therefore, we turn to those people who are supposedly going to provide us with authority, namely our bishops. But suddenly that leaves us with another question: what's a bishop? Right? And what's the relationship of the bishop to these questions of law and authority? One might get a very, very different answer if one asked the bishops themselves, or if one asked the people whom the bishops govern. So, the problem is a complicated one. And the church is really a series of functions that make law work. The course that I'm teaching is called Law and Institutions. So having defined law for the students as society's own idea that we should live together in a law-like way, in an orderly way, institutions come about. What are institutions then? And we tend to think of them as very fixed also, and sure and certain. Right? But in fact, institutions are a society's procedures for making the law effective. And therefore, institutions also are living things, right? Which develop and develop. It's only though when they enter into a kind of bureaucratic phase with all their rules and regulations and forms to fill out and so on, that we start to think, oh yes, that's the way it is. That's the institution. That's all fixed. It's all given, right? Just the way scripture is supposedly given. Just the way the authority of bishops is supposedly given. Just the way somehow we're all supposed to know the authority that Jesus Christ gave to his church. Right, well, the church is functional, and there are the functions. I'll bring this back in my talk too. And therefore, we have to think of the activity of the church as being in search of authority. As being in search of authority. And being a church, that is a society of Jesus Christ, that search for authority has to be conducted in dialogue, which is what we're doing today. Now, it's my deep privilege to introduce the first two speakers, one at a time. What makes this my deep privilege is that they are young and bright, and therefore at least my best teachers. And we start with the youngest, and therefore she's the one who holds all of our feet to the fire all the time. And it's a very good thing. So Maria Simakova, I also think traveled the farthest to get here, because she comes from beyond the Urals. But she's been in North America a long time. She graduated from Bryn Mawr in 2006 with very useful degrees. Her degrees were in Russian literature and critical literary thought. And she has brought these modern interpretative skills to her theological studies with great profit for all of us. After graduating Bryn Mawr, she spent 5 years at St. Vladimir Seminary, where she has completed a degree and has another one about to be granted. Her master's degree, Master of Arts degree in theology, revealed her interest in scripture because she wrote her thesis on comparative interpretations of the parable of the Good Samaritan. But her Master of Theology thesis is even more revealing because it's about multiple readings of Judas and involves scripture, comparative studies of scripture, theory, liturgics, iconography, and the result is that there turn out to be many Judases, and that's a very important point. And you see, not in our old law-like way where everything's absolute, all those many Judases are supposed to be somehow wrong, and these ain't necessarily so. She's now a doctoral candidate in theology through Trinity College, a doctoral candidate at Toronto School of Theology, and she's also been one of the primary teachers in the Orthodox and East Christian Studies program, with her emphasis on scripture and pastoral theology.